Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive with us. Today, we are going to be diving into the world of snus and nicotine pouches.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So joining me today to help us navigate this world is, let's just say,
sure,
an expert when it comes to smokeless tobacco. I think I can handle that title.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So to guide our deep dive today, we are using a website that actually sells snus and pouches.
Okay.
And full disclosure, this was not something that was really on my radar before.
Right.
But, you know, that's the fun of these deep dives, right? We just kind of
pick
something and jump in and see what we can learn.
Absolutely. I think you'll find this one pretty interesting. We're going way beyond just like products here.
Okay.
We're going to get into history. We're going to look at culture. We're going to talk about this whole harm reduction debate.
Oh, wow.
It's a global story with some...
Okay.
Interesting twists.
I am very intrigued now.
All right.
So, first things first.
Yeah.
What exactly, I ask, snus?
So, the website mentions moist tobacco that you put under your lip. And
all right.
I got to be honest, my imagination's kind of running wild with that description.
Okay, let's maybe rein in that imagination a little bit.
Okay.
So, picture this. You've got American dipping tobacco.
Okay.
But it goes on like a Scandinavian vacation. It ditches the spitting habit.
Okay.
And it gets a much smoother vibe.
Right.
That's snus.
Okay.
It's finely ground tobacco. It's often flavored. You tuck it under your upper lip and you're good to go.
Right.
And the website really emphasizes how discreet it is.
Okay.
No smoke, no need to spit.
All right, so a very different experience.
Very different experience.
What I was initially picturing.
Yeah. So less messy than you thought.
Yes, much less messy.
Okay.
Okay, so then the website also talks about these things called nicotine pouches.
Right.
Are those basically the same concept, just without the tobacco?
Yeah, you got it. You're spot on.
Okay.
Nicotine pouches are like snus's modern cousin.
Okay.
They're embracing that whole tobacco-free trend.
Right.
So it's the same placement under the lip, same nicotine hit, but without the actual tobacco leaf.
Okay.
We'll get into like all the nuances and differences a little later.
Okay, so snus has the tobacco pouches, don't.
Yeah.
Got it.
Simple enough.
But here's something that surprised me.
Okay.
This whole snus thing, like, it has history.
It does.
I thought it was like a new fad or something.
Oh, no. Okay.
Snus is deeply rooted in Swedish culture.
Really?
Goes all the way back to the 1800s.
Wow.
And like a key player in all of this is this company called Swedish Match.
Okay.
They're a major manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been around basically since the very beginning of snus.
So it's practically a Swedish institution?
It really is, yeah.
That's wild.
It makes you wonder how something so niche became this international product.
Exactly. Yeah. How did that happen?
So that's the really fascinating part, is that it's not just a Swedish thing anymore.
Right.
Like, snus is available worldwide now.
Which brings up this whole other set of questions about global impact and all that.
Right.
But I think to really understand the impact, you have to understand, like, the cultural weight.
Okay.
In Sweden, it's like woven into their heritage. It's
passed
down for generations.
Wow.
Almost like a part of their national identity.
It's more than just a product then.
It is much more than a product.
Okay. I am starting to see that now.
Good.
So we've got Swedish history. We've got global reach.
Mm-hmm.
This is already more complex than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
But let's go back to the product itself for a second.
Right.
This website is packed with all sorts of different brands of snus.
Of course.
Strengths flavors.
Yep.
I even saw one called Siberia Negative 80 Degrees C White Dry.
Oh, yeah.
And it has 43 milligrams of nicotine per gram.
That's a lot.
I was floored when I saw that.
Yeah.
What is the deal with all this variety?
Okay, so it's kind of like anything else, like snus has evolved to cater to different tastes. And let's be honest, different levels of nicotine tolerance. Okay.
So the strength mainly comes down to the nicotine content.
Right.
Which you clearly noticed
with
that Siberia Ash 80.
Yeah.
That one is known for its extreme strength.
43 milligrams per gram.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine starting with that as like a... first-time snus user.
No, that's definitely not for beginners.
Why would anyone need something that strong?
Well, you know, it's a niche market for experienced users who've built up a tolerance.
Okay.
But it really shows how diverse the world of snus is.
Okay.
And remember those nicotine pouches we were talking about?
Yes.
Some brands like Pablo and R4
mm-hmm.
are offering pouches with up to 50 milligrams per gram of nicotine.
50?
Yeah.
That seems excessive. What's the point of going that high?
Well, it's about choice, isn't it?
Okay.
Whether you're going for the traditional snus or you're looking at these newer pouches,
Right.
there's just a whole spectrum of strengths and flavors out there.
Okay.
Some people prefer a milder experience. Some people want that really intense nicotine hit.
It's all about personal preference.
All right, so there's something for everyone.
There is.
But here's where things get a little confusing for me.
Okay.
The website talks about snus as a harm reduction strategy.
Okay.
Especially compared to smoking cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
They even cite studies backing this up.
Right.
But how true is that really?
Yeah.
Like, where does the science actually stand on all this?
Okay. That is a crucial question.
Yeah.
And as with most things related to health, it's not a simple answer.
Right.
But first, we need to define harm reduction.
Okay.
It doesn't mean safe.
Right.
It's about acknowledging that people are going to engage in risky behaviors.
Okay.
And instead of just saying, don't do it.
Yeah.
You try to offer less harmful alternatives.
I see.
So with snus, the argument is that it eliminates the combustion and the tar
yeah.
that you find in cigarettes.
Yeah.
And that's where some of the biggest health risks from smoking come from.
So taking away those elements could theoretically reduce the risks.
That's the idea.
Is that what the research is showing?
Some research points in that direction,
okay.
yes.
Okay.
Studies have found that snus users have a lower risk of developing those smoking-related diseases.
Okay.
Like lung cancer, for example.
That makes sense.
However,
yeah.
and this is important to remember,
okay.
the debate is far from settled.
Okay.
Some studies actually link snus to other health risks.
Such as?
Like pancreatic cancer.
Oh, wow.
And heart disease.
So it's not just a good versus bad.
No, it's not the situation here. There are nuances to consider.
Okay.
It's about understanding the relative risks.
Right.
Weighing the potential benefits against the potential downsides.
Okay.
Yes, snus might be less harmful than smoking,
mm-hmm.
but it's not risk-free.
Right.
It's all about making informed choices.
Informed choices. I like that.
Yeah.
So no easy answers here.
Right.
Speaking of no easy answers.
Okay.
I found something else on the website that made me kind of wonder.
Okay. What is that?
So they have this disclaimer about snus legality, that it varies by country.
Right.
And that ultimately the responsibility lies with the customer.
Yeah.
So I guess my question is, is snus like some kind of underground product?
It's not exactly underground, but it is definitely tangled up in regulations.
Okay.
Remember we mentioned that EU ban?
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Right.
Tobacco-based snus is illegal in most of the EU,
uh-huh.
but nicotine pouches are allowed.
Wait, so the tobacco's the problem, not the nicotine?
Yeah.
That's confusing.
A little nuanced. Okay. And of course, there's always an exception.
Okay.
Sweden.
Right.
They have a long-standing love affair with snus.
Right.
So it's perfectly legal there.
Gotcha.
But for other countries, it gets tricky.
Okay.
And I think the website's disclaimer is more about legal protection for them than anything shady.
Okay.
They can't be held responsible if someone orders a product that's banned where they live.
So buyer beware, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
If you're interested in trying snus, the key takeaway is you got to know the laws in your area
right.
before you order anything online.
Solid advice.
Yeah.
So let's say someone's listening.
Okay.
They've done their research.
Sure.
And they're curious enough to try snus or pouches.
All right.
With all these options, where do they even begin?
Okay. So rule number one.
Yeah.
Start slow.
Okay.
Don't jump straight to those super strength products.
Gotcha.
Choose a lower nicotine level. See how you react.
Baby steps.
Baby steps.
What else should a snus newbie keep in mind?
Well, you got to think about your preferences.
Okay.
Do you want that classic tobacco experience of snus?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you leaning more towards the tobacco-free route with nicotine pouches?
Okay.
Flavors play a big role, too.
Yeah.
Mint fruity.
Right.
There's a whole smorgasbord of choices.
Sounds like an adventure.
It is.
But, of course, responsibly.
Absolutely.
All right.
Such nicotine is addictive, no matter how it's delivered.
Yeah.
Be mindful of your consumption. And if you're considering snus or pouches as a way to quit smoking,
yeah.
talk to your doctor
yeah.
about using them as part of a harm reduction strategy.
That is great advice.
Thank you.
Wow. We have covered a lot of ground already.
We have.
And it's clear there's a lot more to this world of snus
yeah.
than meets the eye.
For sure.
What I'm finding fascinating is we've gone from what is snus?
Right.
To uncovering this complex history.
Yeah.
The cultural impact.
Mm-hmm.
The whole debate around harm reduction.
It's fascinating.
It really is.
It is.
It's making me think about the bigger picture here.
Yeah.
What are the ethical considerations surrounding all this?
A very important point.
Yeah.
It's one thing to look at the science and the risks.
Yeah.
But the ethical side of things can't be ignored.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If snus really is less harmful than smoking, should it be more readily available?
Right.
Should it even be promoted as a safer alternative?
Right.
Or could that lead to more nicotine addiction, especially among young people who might not have even started smoking otherwise?
Absolutely. That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah. And there's not an easy answer.
Yeah.
On one hand, if we can reduce the harm caused by smoking, shouldn't every option be on the table?
Yeah.
Even if it means embracing something like snus?
Right.
But then on the other hand,
yeah,
are we risking a new generation of nicotine addicts?
Right.
Even if it's a less harmful form of addiction?
Exactly.
It's a tough dilemma.
It is.
No clear solution.
Not an easy one.
And honestly, it's something I'm still wrestling with myself.
Sure.
What do you think?
It's a tough one.
Do the benefits of harm reduction outweigh those ethical concerns? It's something to think about.
Absolutely.
As we delve deeper into this world of snus.
Let's do it. Yeah, it's a question with a lot of layers, for sure.
Yeah.
It makes you realize this whole topic goes way beyond just personal choice. You know, we're talking about public health, societal norms, even corporate responsibility. It's a lot.
Yeah, the big web we're untangling here.
It really is, and it's fascinating how snus itself has, like, changed over time.
It has.
The website was talking about how what we consider snus today is pretty different from like the early days of snus.
Yeah.
That really piqued my curiosity. What was it like back then?
So picture this. You've got your finely ground tobacco.
Okay.
But instead of like those neat little pouches, it's loose.
Oh, wow.
You'd have to like pinch some and tuck it under your lip.
That sounds messy.
Yeah.
And not very discreet.
Not the most discreet way to enjoy your tobacco.
No.
But over time, things evolved.
Okay.
Innovation brought us portioned snus.
Okay.
Those pre-packed pouches that we see today.
Right.
Make the whole experience cleaner, more convenient.
So like a tea bag, but for tobacco?
Exactly.
I know.
It really reflects a broader trend, I think, in the tobacco industry towards these more discreet, user-friendly products.
People are busy.
Yeah.
They want convenience.
Plus, like, less mess is always a win.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And this drive for innovation is what led to those nicotine pouches that we were talking about.
Right.
You know, delivering that same snus-like experience.
Yeah.
But without the actual tobacco leaf.
Right. The tobacco-free option.
Exactly.
It feels like the industry is trying to appeal to a wider range of people.
Yeah.
Including people who maybe want a less harmful option or a less traditional option.
Yeah. That's a great observation.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating to see how these new products are kind of shaping the global market.
Yeah.
As snus gains popularity outside of Sweden.
Right.
I think those newer products are playing a big role in that.
It's a great example of how cultural tastes and technological advancements can come together to create like new markets, new trends.
Yeah, it's like a recipe for change.
Exactly.
Speaking of change, the variety of snus and nicotine pouches today is mind-boggling.
Oh, yeah.
The website lists flavors ranging from classic mint and tobacco to more exotic options like coffee cola, even whiskey.
Whiskey flavored snus?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that would taste like.
I know, right?
Wow.
There seems to be a flavor for every palate imaginable.
Yeah.
And this kind of diversity really speaks to how consumer demand is changing, especially among those younger generations who are just used to having so many choices.
It's like the craft beer boom, but for smokeless tobacco.
Yeah, I like
that. Everyone's got their own like
signature
flavor, their own preference.
Absolutely. Consumers want options.
Yeah.
They want to personalize their experience.
Right.
And that variety goes beyond just flavors.
Okay.
You've got various nicotine strengths, too, from mild to, well, let's just say pretty intense.
Yeah, we talked about those super strength products earlier.
We did.
The Siberia, with its 43 milligrams of nicotine.
Yeah.
And then the Pablo and R4 pouches with a whopping 50.
It's a lot.
It's kind of like a choose-your-own-adventure, but with nicotine.
Yeah, right.
But it's important to remember.
Yes.
Those high-strength products are for experienced users.
Right.
Someone new to snus or pouches.
Yeah.
Should always start with a lower strength.
Good advice.
It's like trying hot sauce.
Yeah.
You wouldn't start with the hottest one on the shelf.
Exactly.
You work your way up.
You got to work your way up.
Exactly.
Oh. Right.
It's all about finding what you enjoy.
Yeah.
And most importantly, using it responsibly.
Speaking of responsibility, the website also talked about the regulations surrounding snus.
Yeah.
It sounds like there are a lot of rules depending on where you are in the world.
Yeah, we touched on this a little bit earlier,
right?
But it's worth repeating. That EU ban on tobacco-based snus is a major factor.
Yeah.
Even in places where snus is legal,
Yeah.
there are often limitations on, like, sales and marketing.
Oh, wow.
Even where you can use it.
Interesting.
It's a reminder that these seemingly simple products
Yeah.
can be subject to complex regulations.
Right.
Especially when it comes to tobacco.
Of course.
Yeah.
So for our listener, the takeaway is clear.
Yeah.
Know the laws in your area.
Absolutely.
And make sure you're getting your snus from a reputable source.
I'm sure.
Nobody wants to end up on the wrong side of the law for a pouch of snus.
Yeah, no one wants that.
All right, so we've talked about history, evolution, regulations. What about the cultural significance?
Yeah.
Why has snus remained so popular in Sweden for so long?
That is a great question.
It seems like there's a deeper story here.
Yeah.
Beyond just practicality or personal taste.
Exactly. In Sweden, snus isn't just a product.
Okay.
It's ingrained in their traditions and their social norms.
Okay.
It's been passed down for generations.
Wow.
For many Swedes, it's a part of their cultural heritage.
That's incredible.
It is.
It really highlights how cultural context shapes our choices and behaviors.
You hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
To understand snus's enduring popularity, you have to understand its cultural significance.
Mm-hmm. Especially in Sweden.
Okay, well said.
Thank you.
We've explored so much already.
We have.
The history, the science, the culture.
It's a lot.
The legal side of things.
Hmm.
I feel like we've really dived deep into this world of snus.
We've definitely gone from what is snus to a much deeper understanding.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much there is to learn about something that at first glance seems so simple.
Exactly. But before we wrap things up,
okay,
I want to shift gears for a moment
right.
and address something that's been kind of on my mind throughout this whole discussion.
Sure.
The ethics of harm reduction.
Ah, a crucial point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one thing to talk about the science and the risks.
Right.
But those ethical considerations are just as important.
Right. If snus really is less harmful than smoking,
mm-hmm.
should it be more widely available?
Yeah.
Should it even be promoted
right.
as a safer alternative?
Right.
Or does that risk normalizing nicotine use?
Of course.
And potentially creating new addictions, especially among young people.
Right.
Who might not have even picked up a cigarette otherwise.
Yeah. That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
It is. And there are no easy answers.
There aren't.
Some people argue that even promoting snus as a harm reduction tool
right.
could unintentionally lead to more people,
mm-hmm.
especially young people becoming addicted to nicotine.
It's a valid concern. It's one that's often brought up.
It's that classic gateway drug argument.
Yeah.
And it's not something we can just ignore.
No, we can't.
But then on the flip side, for people who are already hooked on smoking,
right.
snus offers a potentially less harmful alternative.
Absolutely. And there's research to support that.
Okay.
Some studies even suggest that snus can actually help people quit smoking altogether.
Wow.
Help them transition away from cigarettes completely.
So it's all about finding that balance.
It is.
Weighing the potential downsides against the potential benefits.
Exactly.
And it's not just about the individual consumer.
Right.
It's about the impact on society as a whole.
It is. It makes you question how we as a society balance individual freedom
right.
with those concerns about public health.
Exactly.
You know, how do we create regulations for something
right.
that can be both beneficial and harmful
yeah.
depending on how it's used?
Yeah.
These are questions policymakers and health experts are grappling with.
Around the world.
Worldwide.
Yeah. It's a reminder that there are rarely simple solutions.
Right.
When you're dealing with these kinds of issues.
Oh.
It requires thoughtful consideration.
Yeah.
Open dialogue.
Absolutely.
And a willingness to acknowledge the complexity of the situation.
Well said.
Yeah.
It highlights the importance of making informed decisions,
mm-hmm.
both as individuals and as a society.
Right.
We need to understand the science. Mm-hmm. We need to weigh the ethical implications.
Yeah.
And we need to have honest discussions to navigate these issues effectively.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, that's what these deep dives are all about.
That's right.
Encouraging our listeners to think critically.
Yeah.
Explore different perspectives.
Absolutely.
And ultimately form their own educated opinions.
It's about giving them the tools.
Right.
To make those decisions for themselves.
We're not here to give easy answers.
No.
We're here to spark a conversation.
Exactly. And when it comes to snus.
Yeah.
This conversation is far from over.
Right.
As research continues, as societal attitudes evolve,
mm-hmm.
our understanding of its role in tobacco harm reduction
right.
will undoubtedly change too.
It's an exciting journey to be a part of.
It is.
Wouldn't you say?
I would.
Who knows? Maybe we'll revisit this topic down the road.
Maybe we will.
See how the landscape has shifted.
Yeah.
But for now, I think we've given our listener...
I think so.
...plenty to think about.
And chew on, so to speak.
Exactly.
We've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
We've explored the history, the science, the culture, the regulations, even the ethical considerations.
It's amazing how much depth there is.
It is.
To something that at first glance seems so simple.
Yeah, you're right.
It's like peeling back the layers of an onion.
It is.
And speaking of layers.
Okay.
I think we've reached a point.
Yeah.
Where it's time to move into the final part of our deep dive.
Sounds good.
We'll be back in a moment to wrap things up.
Okay.
And offer some final thoughts.
So,
on this fascinating world of snus. All right. So we're back. And I'm still kind of mulling over these ethical questions we were talking about.
Yeah.
It's one thing to talk about harm reduction on like a personal level, you know?
Right.
But when you zoom out and look at the bigger picture, things get really complicated really fast.
You've hit on a key point there.
Yeah.
It's a complex web.
Right.
With threads of personal choice, public health, corporate responsibility.
Exactly. And as with any complex issue, there are always multiple perspectives to consider.
Absolutely.
Some argue that even promoting snus as a harm reduction tool could actually backfire.
Right.
You know, it could lead to more nicotine addiction.
Yeah.
Especially among young people who might not have even considered smoking otherwise.
It's a valid concern. It's one that's often brought up in these discussions.
Right. The classic gateway drug argument.
Exact.
And it's not something we can just brush aside.
No, it's not.
But then there's the other side of the coin.
Yeah.
For people who are already struggling with a smoking addiction,
right,
snus could offer a way out, a less harmful alternative.
Absolutely. And there's research that supports that viewpoint.
Yeah.
Some studies even suggest that snus can be an effective tool for quitting smoking altogether.
Wow.
Helping people transition away from cigarettes completely.
So it really is a balancing act.
It is.
Weighing the potential downsides against the possible benefits.
Exactly.
And it's not just about the individual consumer either.
No.
It's about the impact on society as a whole.
It is. It makes you think, how do we as a society balance individual freedom?
Yeah.
With those concerns about public health, right? How do we create regulations?
Exactly.
For a product that could be both beneficial and harmful, depending on how it's used.
Yeah, these are the types of questions that policymakers and health experts are grappling with around the world.
It's a good reminder that there are rarely simple solutions when you're dealing with these kinds of issues.
There really aren't, no.
You know, it requires thoughtful consideration.
Yeah.
Open dialogue.
Yeah, absolutely.
A willingness to acknowledge the complexity of the situation.
Well said.
Right, and I think it really highlights the importance of making informed decisions, both as individuals and as a society.
For sure. We need to understand the science.
Yeah.
We need to weigh those ethical implications
right.
and engage in these productive discussions to navigate these complicated issues effectively.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, that's what these deep dives are all about.
That's right.
Encouraging our listeners to think critically, explore different perspectives.
Absolutely.
And ultimately form their own educated opinions.
It's about empowering them with knowledge.
Right.
So they can make informed choices.
Exactly. We're not here to give easy answers.
Well,
we're here to spark a conversation.
Exactly. And when it comes to snus, I don't think that conversation is over.
I agree.
As research progresses, as societal attitudes evolve, our understanding of snus and its role in tobacco harm reduction will undoubtedly change too.
It's an exciting journey to be a part of.
It is.
Who knows? Maybe we'll revisit this topic down the road.
Maybe.
See how the landscape has transformed.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what's changed.
But for now, I think we've given our listeners plenty to think about and chew on, so to speak.
I think so. We've covered a lot of ground.
We have.
We've explored the history, the science, the culture, the regulations, even the ethical considerations.
It's amazing how much depth there is to something that at first glance seems so simple.
It's like we always say, right?
Yeah.
There's a whole world hidden beneath the surface.
Exactly. And that's what makes these deep dives so rewarding.
And
so with that, I think it's time to wrap up our exploration of the world of snus.
All right.
But before we go, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought.
Okay.
We've talked about the science, the culture, the ethics.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think?
What do I think?
If snus really does have the potential to reduce the harm caused by smoking,
yeah,
Should we be doing more to explore that potential? Or are the risks just too high?
That's a good question.
There are no easy answers.
No.
But it's a question worth pondering, I think.
It is.
As we navigate this ever-evolving landscape of tobacco use and harm reduction.
Absolutely.
So keep exploring. Keep questioning.
Keep those brains engaged.
Exactly. And, of course, be sure to check out the source material we've provided for this deep dive.
Yeah, there's a wealth of information out there.
There is.
Just waiting to be discovered.
Thanks for joining us.